There are 10 words in Scripture that make the difference for those who desire to live fully for Jesus Christ. These 10 words proclaim a powerful promise. They define the Christian faith, and they provide a personal confidence to the heart of every believer. If you will understand them, they will radically change your life. If you will believe them, they will breathe renewed strength into your heart and sustain you through the most difficult seasons of life. Stay with us and learn these 10 important words.
The 10 most powerful words you will ever hear. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This verse is the basis of our series and the foundation of our faith in Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God has given us an incredible promise in His Word that opens the door to biblical faith and spiritual victory. In our series, Living Life Through Christ, we will learn how the essence of our faith is found in the promises of God. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called A Mature Faith.
God is interested in developing your faith and mine today. It is His desire that we would grow stronger and stronger as the years go by. Satan will come and try to snatch away the seed of the Word of God. He will try to push against us and fight against us. But God's desire is that we might be rooted and grounded in Christ, that our lives would be lives with His strength evident day by day. Now, God will use different ways to strengthen our faith. Sometimes He will use the trials of life. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Paul said oftentimes that if it took a trial in his life to get him closer to God, then the thing that mattered most to him was that he would be close to God in his heart and life. Sometimes we have a maturing faith through failures. We'll come to a point in time in our life when we just flat out make mistakes. We fail, and God uses that to humble us and to bring us back to Him and say, Lord, I blew it, and I need Your help in my life. And I know in my life there have been times like that, many times, when something I planned didn't go real well, and I have to come back and say, Lord, help me to do it better next time. God will use trials, and God will use failures in our life. But I believe the primary tool that God wants to use to strengthen my faith and your faith is the Word of God. It is His desire that the Bible would be the tool that would edify us and strengthen us through this journey called life. In your notes this morning, a few thoughts about the Word of God. We must remember today that God's Word is inspired. We read that a moment ago. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that simply means that the Bible is a God-breathed book. You'll notice in the notes, 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I do not apologize this morning for being an old-fashioned fundamental Baptist preacher. Fundamental is a word that sometimes scares people. The press likes to twist it and take it out of context. But all this means is that we believe the basic truths of historic Christianity, one of those being the inerrancy of the Word of God. We believe that the Holy Spirit moved on these men and that they wrote the Scriptures as God gave them the words that they were to write. And my friend, if the devil can get someone to question that, then you'll see strange things happening in that church. You'll see strange things happening in that denomination. That's why we see whole denominations leaving the faith today and ordaining homosexuals today and questioning the literal resurrection today. Why do we hear of such crazy things? Because when you begin to question the veracity of the Scriptures, there is no end to what you will stop believing or start believing. We must come to the Bible believing that it is the very very Word of God. It is the inspired Word of God. And because of that, secondly, God's Word is profitable. God's Word is profitable. Notice, if you would, in verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That means helpful. The Bible is a helpful book. It will be bring profit to you in your everyday life. It will help you along the way. 1 Timothy 4:8 says it this way, for bodily exercise profiteth little. That's one of my favorite Bible verses right there. And some of yours too. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. All of us need to become more godly, and without the Word of God, that will not happen. So God's Word is inspired. God's Word is profitable. That's why we're here this morning in a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. We're saying, Lord, we need help. You said the Bible's helpful. We need help. We're here to get your help today. God's Word is inspired. God's Word is profitable. And may I say quickly, God's Word is eternal. This book is an eternal book. This is not something that that has a shelf life and needs to be taken off your shelf. It's something that is eternal. In Matthew 24, 35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And how we thank God for that truth today. And so a mature believer is someone who has a right relationship with the Bible. Someone who approaches the Bible as being God's Word, as being profitable, and the truths are eternal for every generation. Now, when we get ourselves into God's Word, through Sunday school, through church services, but even through a daily time where we open it up and read it, when we have this discipline, and it is a discipline in our lives, just like going to the gym and exercising, or just like taking a walk and all those types of things, just as you get up and get the kids ready in the morning, if you'll add the Word of God as a part of your daily discipline, then maturity begins to develop into your life. Now I want to share with you what this Bible tells us about a maturing believer. Notice, if you would, in the first place, the doctrine of a mature believer. The doctrine of a mature believer. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now, did you know that doctrine should be one of the first things we think about when it comes to church? A lot of people, when they think about church, they think about programs and nurseries and music and location. But the most important thing about a church is, what does that church teach concerning Jesus Christ? What are the doctrines? What is this bond that brings these people together? The doctrine of a mature believer. Now notice, if you would, doctrine as a set of beliefs. Doctrine as a set of beliefs. The Bible says, this book is profitable for doctrine. In other words, it will give you a set of beliefs to live by. How many of you believe that America has lost her moral compass? Right. It just seems like people are drifting today. It seems like there are no absolutes. And that is not by accident. You see, there has been a systematic design by many to remove God from our public schools, to remove the Ten Commandments from our public places. I was asked this past week by some folks, would you consider being a chaplain or saying some prayers for the academy or the police academy, this, that, and the other thing? I said, you know, first problem I have is my time schedule. Second problem I have is they won't allow those chaplains to pray in Jesus' name. And they said, yeah, that's true. They don't let that happen anymore. And I said, you know, as a Christian, I think I ought to be allowed to pray in Jesus' name. But they've tried to remove Jesus. They've tried to remove the Bible from so many different areas of society. Now, what I'm saying is this. When you spend time in the Bible, you are going to have a doctrine or a set of beliefs that begins to develop within your heart. The word doctrine means a set of beliefs. It means that which is right. So the Word of God is profitable to teach you that which is right. And oh, today, how you and I need to know what is right and then do what is right. 2 Timothy chapter 4, just a few verses down, if you'd like to look in your Bible. And verse 1 says this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and, what does it say? Doctrine. Paul said, Timothy, I want you to teach them the doctrines of my word. Notice verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I believe that time has come. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. God says, now there will come a time in church history when men will not endure sound doctrine. They will not want to know the set of beliefs that I've given in my word. So they will find some teachers who will tickle their ears. And by the way, if you're wanting a teacher today who will say, hey, live however you want. You don't want to believe the Bible is the word of God. You want to go out and harbor wrong thoughts and feelings. You want to go out and party hardy, whatever you want to do, fine. Listen, there are teachers today who will give you that. But I say to you, what you need more than the scratching of the ear is the truth of the word of God. And the Bible says there will come a time when men will not want sound doctrine. They will not want a set of beliefs. They won't want someone saying, here's your boundary on this, and here's your boundary on this. But I want to remind you this morning, God doesn't have 10 suggestions. He has 10 commandments. And in His Word, He has given us guidelines and boundaries that we might live by. And by the way, that we might be protected by. I don't know about you, when I drive down the Antelope Valley Freeway, I'm glad that there's a wall going down the middle of that freeway. How many of you have ever looked on those walls, by the way, and seen all the black rubber marks? It's unbelievable. All the people that bumped that wall and possibly asleep or maybe drunk or whatever. Listen, I don't drive down the Antelope Valley Freeway and say, I am sick and tired of these legalistic boundaries in the middle of our freeways. I drive down the freeway and I say, I am glad there's a boundary between me and them. Why? It's there for my protection. Listen, God does not give us these doctrines to rob us from fun. God gives us these doctrines to guide us in the way that we should go. We're finding a lot of times young people are saying, look, that's not for me. I don't want to be a part of this. And I want to just simply say, if we're here today because Nellie and Bob are here, or if we're here today because it's just the place to be for whatever reason other than the truth, we'll find that many times we will shift here and there when we should not be shifting. I'm saying what should bring us together this morning is that we believe the same thing about the Word of God. That's what should bind us together, is the truth of the Word of God. Doctrine as a set of beliefs, we have this in common. We believe the same things about the Bible and about God. Secondly, doctrine as a set boundary. I said this a moment ago, but doctrine is not only a set of beliefs, and I'm not going to preach our doctrinal statement today concerning sin and salvation and heaven and hell and all these different doctrines, but it's certainly a set of doctrinal beliefs. But secondly, doctrine will set some boundaries in your life. Doctrine will set the boundary of personal sanctification. Personal sanctification, meaning by this that the Bible will set us apart. It will cleanse our heart. It will convict us of our sin. And it will sanctify us personally. By the way, when something is preached from the Bible that stings you a little bit, what you need to do is step back and look and go, well, is it in the Bible? Because if it's in the Bible, we need to do what the Bible says. And allow God's Word to redirect us and be willing to say, I was wrong in that area. I needed to be redirected by the Word of God. Personal separation is the work of God in my heart through His Spirit and through His Word to keep me away from a sinful pattern that would hurt me and bring destruction and bring dishonor to the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want my children to mourn my dying more than my living. I don't want them to have a daddy that someday they're embarrassed of and someday that brought heartache to them. I want, and certainly do not want, a Savior to be grieved with my life. And so the Bible gives me a set of beliefs. And some of you say, well, my kids have had some problems and this and that has happened and that's a difficulty. But I want to say something. Mom and Dad, let's stay on the straight and narrow path for them. Let's follow the Word of God and be faithful. John 17:17 is in your notes, and it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, if you see that, let's say that verse together. This is Jesus praying to the Father, John 17:17. Let's read this together. Ready to begin. Sanctify them. Now, the word sanctify means to set apart. So Jesus says, Father, set them apart through thy truth. They are in a wicked world. They're going to have temptation in front of them. Father, through your infallible word, set them apart, sanctify them. Sanctification is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, whereby he leads in our life to bring us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Folks, you might say, well, I've got a long ways to go, and we all do. But God's Holy Spirit wants to bring us day by day so that we will be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is his tool in accomplishing that task. Richard Baxter once wrote, kill sin before it kills you. Your weapon is the Word of God. I like that. Kill sin before it kills you. Your weapon is the Word of God. Well, I'm going to tell you, that old devil will many times come into our life and with a little spider of temptation. And we must kill that sin before it kills us. And the Word of God is the weapon. Look what it says in Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The psalmist said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. And so we see that our personal sanctification is dependent upon us yielding to the Word of God and yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. George Washington said, it is impossible to righteously govern the world without God and the Bible. By the way, you cannot govern yourself without the Bible. We cannot govern our family without the Bible. Certainly this country's laws were founded on the Word of God. And may we recognize today that our protection as Christian people is dependent upon how we listen to the Word of God. Oh, listen, how we should thank God for the commandments of His Word. But then secondly, it also applies to our church's position. Doctrine is a word that applies not only personally, but also to the church corporately. Acts 2:42 says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So the first church at Jerusalem, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It wasn't something they just had a Bible conference once in a while for. But they were daily in the temple and from house to house studying the truth concerning Christ, concerning the resurrection, concerning the blood atonement, concerning the depravity of man. All of the prophecies of the Bible, they studied these things fervently. They were steadfast in them. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13 says this, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I'm going to tell you right now, there are many false teachers today, many places with cunning craftiness and carefully crafted concepts about God and about the Bible and where there is every wind of doctrine. And sometimes it amazes me. Sometimes someone will be involved in a Baptist church for years, and the next day you know they're in a church with very different type of doctrine. You know what that tells me? It tells me they never were grounded in the Word of God. God tells us here that we should not be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Sometimes I'll hear about a new Christian that gets involved and they're exposed to some type of a false doctrine or some type of a false teaching. And my pastor's heart wants to rush to them, and sometimes I can't. And it's physically impossible. But I pray this, Lord, I pray that they've been listening to the Word of God and applying the Word of God so that they will rightly divide the Word of truth and make the right decision, not based on their emotion, but based on the Word of God. That they would not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but that they would be grounded and steadfast. And our doctrine will cause us to have stability. I was looking at the Bible the other day of Brother Harley Peters, a man that we had in this church for many years. And it's a Bible that's marked on every single page. He was a man of stability, a man of faithfulness, because he was a man of the Word of God. He was steadfast. And our church must be steadfast in this matter of doctrine. And it must be a Christ-centered doctrine. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I tarry, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Notice this, please. "Which is the church of the living God." Notice, please. "The pillar and ground of the truth." You know what God says? He says, "My church is to be the pillar and the ground of truth." And I say to you, we cannot depend on the courts. We cannot depend on the schools. We cannot depend on corporate America to propagate the truth. They are calling right wrong and wrong right. And we see it happening all over this land. God has said to one institution, and that is the local New Testament church, that it is your responsibility to be the pillar and the ground of truth. That is, we are to lift up the truth and tell this community what the Bible says. And I say, it is a great privilege to be a part of a Bible preaching church that is lifting up the truth. Someone says, well, what is the truth that we lift up primarily? Look at the next verse, verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Did you catch that? God was manifest in the flesh. Who's that talking about, class? Jesus Christ. And that is the deity of Christ. And when we talk about the truth we lift up, the truth we want to lift up day after day after day, is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died and was buried for our sins and rose again for our justification on the third day. That is the doctrine that we hold to. And so the Bible says the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. And as you read the Bible, and as you listen to the preaching of the Word of God, there should be a set of beliefs that forms in your heart about Jesus and about heaven and about eternity and about mankind and about life and where it begins and about love and forgiveness and relationships, on and on and on. The Bible will give you doctrine to live by. But notice secondly today, not only the doctrine of a mature believer, but I want you to notice the development of a mature believer. Now, the Bible is going to give you doctrine to live by, but the Bible is also going to develop your heart and life into that which is a life of maturity. Now, how does that happen? How is God's Word going to develop me? And how can I use it to develop my children and others around me? Well, let's notice there in verse 16 again, please. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." And notice, please, "for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, here are the steps of development in the life of a believer. First, letter A, through reproof. If you're taking notes, the word reproof means showing what is wrong. Showing what is wrong. Now, remember a moment ago, Paul said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort." Now, someone might say, well, why isn't the exhortation first and then the reproof later? I do not know. This is God's divine order. It is the same in verse 16. He says, I want you to give first the reproof. Later on, you can give the instruction. Now, I think part of the reason is, until we know what we've been doing wrong, we don't need instruction in how to do right. And sometimes when we're teaching our children how to drive, we have to help them to know that you don't drive with your foot on the clutch or on the brake. We have to help them to know how to avoid that which is wrong in order to then do that which is right. So the Bible says we develop, first of all, through reproof, showing that which is wrong. This word reproof means convincing one of their error. Convincing one of their error. Now, the Bible will show us when we are wrong. By the way, that's why sometimes folks don't like a Bible teaching church. Because the Bible will show us when we're wrong. The Bible says in John 16, 8, "And when He is come," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "He will reprove the world of sin." The Holy Spirit will reprove us of our sin.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. Thanks in advance for your support.
So many people request copies of Pastor Chappell's messages every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. That is why we have posted them on our church website, preaching.lancasterbaptist.org. This collection of messages is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. Log on today to watch or listen.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.